Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love.
And good evening and welcome to What the World Needs Now. This is your host, Ken Johnston, and I'll be with you for the next hour. And I just want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and especially for your ongoing support, both your financial support and especially your prayerful support that's allowed this Catholic radio apostolate to remain on the air for 40 years now. And speaking of those 40 years, I'd invite you to join us on April the 30th when we're going to celebrate our 40th anniversary. We're going to be at St. Joseph's in the Hills Retreat House in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And again, that's going to be on Sunday, April the 30th from 1:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m., 4 hours in which we'll break bread together. We'll have a couple of speakers. And it's one of our two big fundraisers for the year, other than our golf outing. And, come on out. We'll have a silent auction as well. The cost is $55 per person, where you can get a table of eight for $400. So why not grab seven friends and come on out and spend the afternoon with us? It's always great to see the faces behind those that call into our shows, and especially see the faces of those that have supported us, especially over these last 40 years. It'd be great to have you with us. So I am excited today about today's show. My guest today is Father Richard Heilman. I had Father Richard on, I think it was back in August when we were getting ready to start the 54-day novena that led up to the election. And when we chatted, Father, it was before the novena had started. And, one of the interesting things that had happened, and I think it was the day that the novena started, was the day that President Trump had hired Kellyanne Conway.
That's right.
As his campaign manager. So right off the bat, day one,
and she's a daily mass goer.
Yeah. So we had an impact, right away. And since then, I know that there was that 54-day novena. You kicked off another one leading up to the inauguration. And the main reason I wanted to bring you on today is for what's going to begin on this coming Monday, February the 13th, what Father Heilman is calling the Nineveh 90. And I just want to say that I've gotten to know you as a result of that interview that we did last August, and then becoming friends on Facebook. And I just checked just before the show, and as of this moment, Father Heilman has 4,992 friends on Facebook. And it'd be great if we put them over 5,000 before the show's over. And not because, I don't think it's a prideful thing for Father Heilman, but folks, this is a holy man who's taken social media to task. And there's so many things that can be negative in the social media world. Probably the most heartbreaking thing that you see taking place today on Facebook is these young people that are actually using the live version of Facebook, where you can put video out live and videoing their own suicides. And, you know, there's some pretty sick things that go on in social media. But for every one of those types of evil, satanic things, if you will, there's a lot of good that's out there. And Father Heilman, I think you do a wonderful job at doing that. So many of my friends now are your friends as we share this information. So, like I said, the main reason I wanted to bring you on is a few days before the Nineveh 90. And maybe you could explain to our listeners where you came up with the concept and what it's going to be.
Well, you know, I did an article back, it was about a year ago, I think. And, I'm actually looking at it. It was February 1st, 2016. I did an article and I did some research on this. And I asked, you know, why 100 years might matter. So there we were in February 2016, leading into the 100th year anniversary in 2017 of Our Lady of Fatima. And, you know, in the research that I did, I pieced a lot of things together. Well, the article ended up going viral. I'm looking at it right now. It's up to 38,000 shares. It's the most shared article I ever did. So a lot of people are interested or tuned into this. And, you know, what does 100 years matter? And so that kind of culminated into the idea of, well, what did Our Lady ask for in 1917 and in apparitions that occurred after that? You know, what in the third secret, of course she asked for the rosary, but in the third secret, you know, it was penance, 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 that image that they received of seeing the angel that they saw as Michael the Archangel calling off for penance. And, you know, in my own reflection, I thought, you know, this is a lot like, you know, the time in Nineveh where Jonah was asked by God to go and warn them. And, you know, when I was putting the research together about this 100 years, I also saw a strong link between the 100 years that we just experienced and the vision that Pope Leo XIII had on October 13th, 1884, interestingly enough, 33 years to the day where they would have that final apparition in Fatima with the miracle of the sun. And in that vision, as it's told to us, Pope Leo XIII heard them talking and negotiating, basically. And the devil said, I could destroy your church, you know. And Jesus said, you can, huh? You know, and anyway, so it ended up that he was given 100 years to try to destroy this church. Well, a lot of people believe that with the warnings that Mary brought at Fatima, that would be then where the ticking clock began. So kind of the 100 years then would be fast approaching. And in fact, it would be, if we go by the first apparition of Mary, it would be May 13th coming up.
Right.
And so, you know, all this is going through my mind and everything. And I also came across an excellent program, the whole idea of spending 90 days to turn bad habits into good habits. It's called Exodus 90. It really helps. It's geared more toward men and more toward purity, but a lot of things. And I really recommend our listeners to check it out. It's awesome. But I took pieces of that idea that, you know, that we take 90 days out to try to do reparation and transformation as our offering, because we know that Jonah, when he went to Nineveh, they believed him. And then they said, well, let's, you know, put on sackcloth and ashes. They repented, they fasted, they, you know, and so they did their own penance as a way to cry out to God. And we know that in that vision that, or in the story of Jonah in the Bible, that God saw what they did, and he relented of his punishment. And so, you know, I thought, well, you know, all these pieces are kind of coming together. And I thought, okay, what if we did that? You know, because a lot of people right now are saying, you know, okay, Fatima's coming. What can we do to kind of call out to God, almost like the people of Nineveh did? And I said, why don't we do this? Why don't we take 90 days and do our own, you know, putting on sackcloth and ashes, our own repentance, our own seeking transformation, this idea of kind of untying ourselves from the strings of the world and tying us more closely to God. Why don't we do that? And we had already done such things as the 54-day Rosary Novena that you pointed out, and we've also done, in recent years, we've had several thousand people do the preparation for consecration to Jesus through Mary, the Marian consecration. Mm. And, you know, when you add those two together, that's 87 days, almost exactly 90. And so I actually started piecing this all together, and I said, why don't we do this? Why don't we do some penance and, you know, really some good, intense penance? And let's also pray the 54-day Rosary Novena, and then shortly after that, let's go right into our preparation for consecration. And then on the 100th anniversary, on May 13th, let's all consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. And so it all kind of pieced together, and I threw it out there, and a lot of people thought, you know, this is exactly what they were looking for. You know, they wanted to do something, and this all makes sense, you know, especially calling upon Mary in the 54-day Rosary Novena and also that Marian consecration. And so one thing led to another, and last I checked, we were over 6,000 people that signed up to be a part of this. And so it starts February 13th and goes till May 13th, is 90 days.
Very good. And it's not, I don't think, for those that are faint-hearted. There's, and I would assume that, you know, for people, whether it's health reasons or other reasons, if you can't do all the 10 elements that Father has laid out, and I think we'll go through them, that to do as many of them as possible. Again, the whole idea, of course, is to bring ourselves closer to God. And I think with the 90 days, like you said, it takes 90 days to really develop that habit. We had talked, I was talking with some friends the other night, and we talked about, you know, doing things for 30 days or 33 days with the consecration. But I, especially in the recovery world, we used to really try to get people to 90 days, you know, clean or 90 days sober, right, and think that they were over the hump. And I think science has pointed out, and we see the reason why we need to get a little bit longer in those areas. But really, the 90 days to form these new, better habits.
Right.
And all the information about Nineveh 90 can be found at Nineveh90.com. Father had mentioned Exodus 90 as well. And there's a website, Exodus90.com. For those that use Facebook, I think if you do a search for Nineveh 90, you'll find a Facebook group that the Father started where people can interact and help each other along the way. And there's also another part of this which could be beneficial in that regard as well. But anyway, maybe we go through the 10 elements, Father. The first one,
sure.
The first one is for 90 days to let go of a repetitive sin that you struggle with.
Yeah, so, you know, purity is a lot of people struggle with, particularly men nowadays, with push-button access to pornography. It's just become a pandemic in our times, and so that's a big one. And so I always tell people, you know, do this for 90 days. Don't worry about day 91, but just do this for 90 days, and we'll talk about day 91 later, okay? And then to be able to do this with, you know, thousands of other people, it's just so inspiring. You know, it could be overeating, it could be alcohol, whatever you feel you're attached to, you know, to let go of that. Repetitive sin is what we're drawn to. So to spend 90 days, just say, no, you know, we're not going to do that.
Right.
And then the second one is, and I'm a big promoter of this, but the brown scapular, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, I actually found a really cool scapular metal. And I know a lot of people might not, for allergy reasons or just for other reasons, they might not want to wear the brown scapular, but Pius X said back in 1910 that once you're enrolled with the cloth scapular, you can go on to wear the scapular medal. But the cool one I found, and I've never seen this before, actually has a Benedict medal as part of this four-way brown scapular. And so I made those available to people. But the idea is, you know, you think of about the scapular, it's very akin to sackcloth and ashes, you know, sackcloth. And so what a great way, because to wear a scapular is very, it's an act of humility. You're basically, you're asking for the veil of the, cover me in your mantle, Blessed Mother, and protect me. You're kind of like a child almost hiding under the veil of the Blessed Mother. It's just a beautiful, beautiful devotion. And so many stories are linked to people who wear the brown scapular or the scapular medal. I can tell you, and I told this story, that I was under a satanic assault when I first found this scapular medal. And I mean, it was just coming from everywhere. And I'm not going to get into the particulars, but it was severe. Hmm. And the day I put that, I want to say this. 3 days after I put it on, I went, what happened on that Thursday? Everything changed. It went from awful in terms of this attack to glorious. I mean, it was just like all these great things were happening, and it dawned on me 3 days later. That morning, I put the Benedict blessing and exorcism on the medal and put it on that morning. And so these stories are real about people who are wearing the brown scapular cloth or the scapular medal. So that's our sackcloth for this 90 days. And then the next one, number three, is, you know, try to get going on daily mass if you're able to. A lot of people, they just can't. You know, they might have six kids in tow or something, you know, and they just, it's impossible, you know, or they might have some kind of physical disabilities or whatever. But for those who can, you know, maybe strive to go to mass, daily mass. I'd like to, you know, people get in the habit of doing it every day, but even if you can add one or two more per week where you're going to mass when it's not an obligation, you know, that's an act of love to God and love for the Holy Eucharist. So then the fourth one is confession. And I just say at least once a month. That's the good pattern. That's the good habit for Catholics, is about once a month, but, of course, right after you would commit any grave or mortal sin, you'd want to go to confession immediately. But beside that, it's go once a month. I always say, I love the idea of communal penance, and I think it's great on paper, but I think these services conditioned our people. We didn't know this was going to happen, but it conditioned our people out of going to confession frequently, because people just waited for those communal penance services, which in most parishes is once, maybe twice a year. And so so what I do in my parish is I actually offer these adoration and confession evenings. Actually, three times a month, I offer one for the men, and then that's in the first Friday's nights, and the third Friday nights for the ladies, and then on the, in fact, tonight, on the second Wednesdays, I offer it for families. And so what happens is it's adoration, and then confession, and then benediction at the end. It's very beautiful. There's, some of them are doing more things in there, but that's the basic concept there. But what am I doing there? I'm offering communal penance every month. So I'm trying to condition people back into going once a month, since if they've been away from going frequently. You with me so far?
I'm with you, and I'm one to vouch for confession. As a matter of fact, I have my spiritual director who I see at least once a week, and a lot of times we'll be sitting across the table, and he'll start pulling the purple out of his pocket, you know, and okay, Father, I'll go. But I have been away. I have been away from the church, and definitely away from the sacrament of confession for over 20 years when I came back. And it's probably the single greatest experience I have spiritually now. The idea that we can sit with a priest like yourself in persona Christi. You know, we're confessing our sins to Jesus, not necessarily to the man that's sitting across from us or behind the screen. And when we're done and we've done a good confession, to hear those words come from the priest's lips that our sins have been forgiven,
yeah,
and we're given absolution, I don't think there's any greater feeling in the world.
I know.
And, you know, I often feel for our Protestant brothers and sisters because they get shortchanged without this.
Yeah.
And But it is, and I say it all the time to, you know, people that have been away from the church, you know, get back to confession. There's nothing to fear. You know, there's good priests out there that'll walk you through the process. You know, don't worry about if you forget every word of every prayer. You know, you're being called to this, and don't deny yourself this experience.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people. I absolutely love your story because I hear it so often. So many people say the same thing. They've been away for years, and it's just one of the greatest experiences of their entire life when they do. There's a phrase going around that the Eucharist isn't for the perfect. I always say, no, it's not for the perfect. No one's going to be perfect in this lifetime. Prize for the perfect. That's the phrase I was looking for. It's not a prize for the perfect. No, it's not, because we'll never be perfect in this lifetime. But once you receive those words of absolution from the priest, in that moment you are perfectly pure. You are perfectly pure, and you're as pure as you were the day the priest poured that water over your head as a baby in the sacrament of baptism. Mm-hmm. And now you're ready to start a brand new life because of that amazing sacrament. Let's not talk about the past. Let's not talk about any of that. Let's talk about today and tomorrow and the next day. Now that you are perfectly pure. And I was talking about this weekend, actually, that, the science of the body says that, if we get impurities in our body, we start to crave junk, the junk food, when we get that in us. It's so similar in a spiritual life, that when we get sins in, when that kind of darkness kind of starts to fill our lives, then we start wanting the worldly stuff, and we don't like the fruits and the vegetables of our faith. We don't like to pray the rosary. We don't like to go to church. We don't like to do anything that we're called to do, because we've got these impurities in our bodies. But so many people talk about that when they go to confession and they're truly contrite, that after they're like, let's get busy. Where's the rosary? I want to pray it. Let's go to Mass. I want to do adoration. Right. Because why? Because just like in the body, when you do that detoxification, then you start wanting, the good stuff, and the bad stuff it becomes more repugnant to you. So that it's very similar in the spiritual life. So all listeners out there, go to confession, go to often. It'll detoxify your soul and make it ready for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So 1, 2, 3, and 4, I hope these don't sound overwhelming, because these are actually just very, very basic things of our Catholic faith. So stop doing the repetitive sins, wear the brown scapular, go to Mass more than just on Sunday, and go to confession regularly. So that's where we're at so far, okay?
Yep.
All right, so let's go to number 5. And this, again, is the science. Anybody that's gone through kind of a recovery, like you called it before, they know that it's hard to walk through that alone. It's good to walk through with another person or persons. And so number 5 is just try your best to get, I call it a Nineveh 90 squad, so like 3 to 8 people that you can meet with regularly. And I imagine in our technological world, a lot of that could be just online, that you meet them. And people are busy, and so it's just easier to go to your computer to someone's house. But it is good to go face-to-face if you can do it. But anyways, it's 3 to 8 people, 1 to 3 times a week, and it'll probably commonly be online, but in person is good. And if you can, have one person that's your accountability buddy, and then that person, again, 1 to 3 times a week online or in person. Again, this is part of the science, what they found. You want to speak to that at all with the recovery?
No, well, absolutely. No, absolutely, because that smaller, the smaller group, and sometimes the groups are larger, but if you compare it to a 12-step program, it's a group where you can go and you can tell them where you're at, where you slipped up, and at the same time you get encouragement from them to keep on going. I'm sure that a number of folks will, like you said, over 6,000 will be starting on day one, and quite a few by the end of that first week are going to think that maybe they missed one rosary, or they haven't added a daily Mass, and they're going to want to quit. And by having an accountability buddy, if it's somebody that you're going to shoot a text message to or call every day, and all of a sudden you don't hear from them, that's a cue, at least for me, to get in touch with them. Yep. And say, hey, what's up? I didn't hear from you. Everything okay? Yep. And again, we can encourage each other on this journey, because I'm sure that like the 54-day rosary novenas and other things, when we start doing these good things, the evil one perks up. I tell the story all the time. When I was sitting on a bar stool, the evil one didn't have to worry about me. He was nowhere to be found. I was doing his will. And it was when I made that turn and opened that door a little bit and started to let God in, that's when the evil one starts nipping at your heels, saying, wait a minute. I had you last week. You got, come on back here. And we can get drawn back. So by having a spiritual friend, whether it's Nineveh 90 or any other place you are in life, that I think it's indispensable to have someone to be able to talk to about spiritual things. I know with the priest shortage, it's tough for everybody to have a priest as a spiritual director. There's a lot of lay folks out there that'll do spiritual direction. But even short of that, just to have somebody that you can talk to about where you are spiritually, and exchange ideas, and what it does for me is it lets me know that I'm not the only one. For so long, I thought that I was the only one that didn't have all the answers. That when I got married, I didn't get the book on the perfect marriage, and when I had kids, I didn't get the book on raising perfect kids, and I thought everybody else had those books and everybody else had those answers ingrained in them. And when you start to share about some of the things that are going on in your own life, you come to learn that everybody else is in the same boat. And my good friend Father McKay always says, we're all in the same boat and we're all seasick. And so by having that person that you're going to do this with, you get to encourage each other, help each other when you're down, and really recommend it. It could be somebody you bump into, if you're a daily communicant, somebody you bump into at church. Maybe it's a friend that you know that maybe seems a little more advanced than you are, or you think they are. Once you talk to them, you probably find out that they aren't. But, somebody you can bounce questions off of and talk to on a regular basis.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so essential.
Right.
So, and I tell people, too, if you can't get in a group, at least get that accountability buddy.
Right.
Just try to get someone who says, hey, we're going to do Nineveh 90. Let's do it together, And
right.
And then number six is just very, very basic daily prayers for Catholics that we would like to do. So, and all this can be found online, and you could just, print it out and have it by your bed or whatever. Because, the first one is the morning offering. That's just a beautiful, beautiful prayer. It's, three sentences long, and to just offer your day to our Lord and our Lady. It's just a beautiful, beautiful way to start your day. And then at 6 a.m., if you're up by then, if you're not, then don't worry about it. But then noon and 6, people will notice that if you pass by Catholic churches, the bells go off at that time, those times. And why? Because it's alerting us to go ahead and pray the Angelus prayer. And that's just a beautiful short prayer. My bells go off across the courtyard here, and I'm done with the prayer before the bells stop ringing. So it's not terribly long at all, and it's just a good practice to get into. And nowadays, too, you can set your cell phone or your watch or whatever to kind of give you a little buzz or something, some kind of alarm to remind you to do the Angelus prayer. The next one is just the rosary. Again, all Catholics, we should be praying the rosary once a day. And then the next one is, I call it a holy hour, and I might change the name of that, because a lot of people, when they think of holy hour, they think of exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in the church.
Right.
Not necessarily. It can be before the tabernacle without the Eucharist being exposed. But I actually meant it to be just a holy hour of prayer just in your home. If you can get to a church, that's wonderful.
Right.
But just find a little corner in your house where you can be quiet with the Lord. And then also I said, 20 minutes is great. If you can do a whole hour, that's wonderful. But it's more of a holy 20 minutes, basically, in your own home.
Right.
When you boil it all down. Just spend time quietly, just being with the Lord. You don't even have to talk during that time. but just be alone with the Lord and let him speak to your heart. And then the final one is bedtime prayers. And there's some traditional ones that are real quick to do. Again, it takes a couple minutes, but it's a great practice to kind of do a little examination of conscience before you go to bed and a couple of prayers, and then you go to bed. So those are the ones that we want to get up and running with all of us, because these are just basic Catholic prayers for everybody to make sure they have as foundational in their prayer life.
Very good.
Okay?
All right, Father, we're at the bottom of the hour. We're just going to we'll give you a break. You can get a little drink of water or something. We'll
all
take
right.
care of some business, and then we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to What the World Needs Now. Again, this is your host, Ken Johnston. I'll be with you for about another 25 minutes. And I just want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, especially for your continued support of us here at In His Sign, both your financial support and your ongoing prayerful support that's allowed us to be on the air for some 40 years now. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we'll be celebrating those 40 years at the Malvern Retreat House on Sunday, April the 30th, from 1:30 to 5:30 p.m. We'll be serving up a dinner and a couple of speakers along with a silent auction to help us raise much-needed funds to continue to keep this radio apostolate going. Again, we're on the air 4 to 6 p.m., Monday through Friday here on 800 a.m. and over the internet at inhissign.com. If you happen to miss a show, I'm getting pretty good at getting those shows uploaded, usually within a couple of days. And all the shows from January have been uploaded to the website, again, at inhissign.com. And today we're talking to Father Richard Heilman, internet friend of mine, if you will. We've never met in person, but we've communicated over the internet, whether it's through Facebook or his website. And what we've been talking about is the Nineveh 90, 90-day preparation leading up to the 100th anniversary of the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. And we started to go through the steps. And just before we go back, Father, the website is Nineveh90.com. NINEVEH90.com. And some of the materials, and I know at Christmas time I gave out a couple of those combat kits. He has a couple other websites, RomanCatholicMan.com, which is where you can see the articles that Father writes, his blog, if you will. And then the other website is RomanCatholicGear.com. And he's got some really cool combat rosaries. That's where you can pick up the scapular medal that he talked about. I got my sons a couple of these kits that has everything in it, the prayer book, the rosary, etc. And so they come highly recommended. And we actually have a caller on the line, Father, before we get to the number 7 in the list. Hello, Dom. How are you?
Yes, thanks for taking my call again. And I enjoy the program very much, Father Richard. And I have a couple points or questions in regard to private revelation and view of the scapular. I find that after Vatican II, and I stand to be corrected, that there was a dwindling of Marian devotion. That's one point. And secondly, I do read private revelation, and one of them I read, and I wonder if you believe this or not, a lady said, or Jesus, you know how it goes back and forth, private revelation. The request by our Lord or Mary was that the priest himself, like yourself, should literally take people and guide them into the church edifice and lead people to the Blessed Sacrament and that 1 hour that you called for. And I'm just wondering if you kind of lean toward my understanding of that private revelation, if you agree with it, and also your take on why the church has decreased. It seemed for me, it's not a I'm not saying this in condemnation, but it seems to me there's a dwindling of Marian devotion. So I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response, Father Richard. God bless.
Okay.
Thanks, Tom.
So, yes, let's take the first one. He asked about after Vatican II and dwindling Marian devotion. Yeah, I mean, all we have to do is look around and see that. You know, everybody has their own theories about what that was. My own is that I think people got very ecumenically minded, if you will. And so we didn't really dispose of Mary during that time, but I think a lot of people were just cautious about Mary because our other Christian brothers and sisters, you know, didn't know what we knew and didn't practice Marian devotion. And so we were trying to find common ground, if you will. And I think that we made a mistake there, and I do. I think that, and I think the church is understanding that too. So you see great Marian popes like Pope John Paul II. I mean, my goodness, he said he would renew his consecration, I think, every day to Mary. Mm. But he had a wonderful devotion to the Blessed Mother, and so did Pope Benedict and now Pope Francis. Beautiful, beautiful devotions to Blessed Mothers. Beautiful encyclicals are written about it. So there's a resurgence in our time. But I think it went to an extreme just because, and I do think that the larger reason, probably there's many reasons for it, but I think the larger reason was that we wanted to be ecumenical, and we thought that it might be an offense because they didn't understand Mary or even kind of objected to not going to someone instead of going directly to Jesus. And so that's kind of what happened there. What was the second question?
Remember? About private revelation.
I can't remember myself.
It was along the lines of private revelation and whether or not Believe it. But anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Dom. But anyway, what we have been talking about is the Nineveh 90, this 90-day preparation leading up to the May 13th. It's actually going to begin for over 6,000 of us on Monday, February the 13th. And just by way of quick review, there's 10 elements that are involved here. And before the break, we had number one was for 90 days to resolve or let go of repetitive sin that you struggle with. The second thing was that you would wear the brown scapular, whether it's the cloth scapular or the scapular metal. Three, to try to get to daily mass. And as you mentioned it, Father, it can be difficult for some folks. So
right. If
you're only a Sunday churchgoer today, maybe add one or two masses during the week, the ones that are non-obligatory, that you're going because you really want to be there. The fourth thing would be confession, at least once a month and immediately following grave sin. The fifth thing was to try to develop a support system. If you can develop a squad, a Nineveh 90 squad, that's great, 3 to 8 people. But at a minimum, at least have one other person that you're going through this with so that you can work together, encourage each other as we're going through the process. The sixth thing was daily prayer, and that includes the morning offering, the Angelus at 6 a.m., noon, and 6 p.m., the rosary, which we should be praying daily anyway, a holy hour, or at least a holy 20 minutes, and doesn't necessarily have to be in church or before the Blessed Sacrament. Great if you can. MassTimes.org and some of the other websites out there can point you to some local churches that might have adoration. And
yeah, or just come a little early for Mass and stay a little later, both.
Yep, there you go. And mm-hmm. And then before we go to bed at night, whether it's a full-blown examine taught by St. Ignatius, but at a minimum an examination of conscience and a couple of prayers before we put our head on the pillow for the night. So I think that's where we left off, Father, with number six. And number seven is where tires meet the road.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, right. Well, these are just common mortifications, if you will, okay? And so we know that during Lent, a lot of people give up sweets and things like that. Well, what we're going to do is kind of ask people to just untie themselves from the world for 90 days and again, tie themselves more closely to God. So these are the mortifications. Like I say, they're common. You'll see a lot of these in the Exodus 90. I actually toned down quite a bit what Exodus 90 had. But again, these are common mortifications. So what we want to do during the 90 days is everybody kind of puts off that that exercise, and that can just be taking a morning walk, you know. But the thing that we put off, you know, we kind of get caught in the flesh, and we always talk that, you know, Monday I'm going to start, and then next Monday, and then next Monday, you know, you're going to start again. But we want to do that for 90 days is just do some healthy things, and then offer that up, whatever it is. And then also we want to get some good rest. So 7 hours of sleep, again, that's the science that shows us that, especially for adults. I think for children it's more like 8 or 9, but for adults, a good solid 7 hours sleep. We want to try to stick to that instead of staying up late doing whatever. And then no alcohol. No desserts or sweets, like we said. Now, here it says no eating between meals. However, I qualify that because some people want to do the healthy thing, and the science says that we should have tiny meals throughout the day. So if you're doing that, go ahead and do that, okay, because that's a healthy program. Then the next one is no soda or sweetened drinks. Then the next one is no television or movies, but news is allowed. We want to stay away from bad music, so only music that lifts the soul to God. And then no televised sports, although I threw in one per week for that. And then also limit recreational computer time. So you want to really use a computer. You can use it for personal needs. Like, you know, I read a lot of great articles and things like that. Or I'm using, you know, Facebook to try to teach and things like that. So that's fine. And also, you know, you're going to want to get to the Nineveh 90 site to get your daily reflections and prayers. So that's fine. The kind of stuff that's fulfilling, that's positive, go ahead and use a computer. You got to use it for a business, too. Obviously, that's fine. What we're talking about here is recreational time, you know, playing games, you know, wasting time on Facebook, you know, doing non-productive things on Facebook.
Right.
But reading articles is fine. And passing around good information, that's fine. So limit recreational time on the computer. So that's all number seven right there. And so that's kind of that's the mortifications that we want to do during this time, kind of that detachment. Then 8, 9, and 10 is just showing that we talked about it earlier. That's the kind of journey we're going to take. So the first 54 days starts with the 54-day Rosary Novena. I call it a basic training in holiness. But you start on February 13th, and 54 days ends on April 7th, which is the Friday before Holy Week, okay? And then on the Monday of Holy Week, so 3 days later, we'll begin our 33-day preparation for consecration. So we're basically taking Palm Sunday weekend off from these reflections, and then starting up, and then that'll take us to, that'll be April 10th, then until May 12th, which is the day before the 100th anniversary of Our Lady's apparitions in Fatima. And then on May 13th, that 100th anniversary, that's when we'll do our Marian consecration, which is just, you know, doing a beautiful prayer. It's great if you can do it before the Blessed Sacrament, but it's not necessary. And so just to pray that prayer, you know, in a beautiful prayer time that you set aside, that you're consecrating yourself to Our Lady. So that's the 10 there.
Very good. If you have a question for Father or a question about the Nineveh 90, I'd ask you to give us a call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or 888-343-2484. So I'm looking forward to this, Father. I love the update that you had on the website from Michelle Lynn Fallon, and you know, what it had done for her, because there's always, you get, of course we get the spiritual benefits, but you know, here's a woman that lost 40 pounds doing this, you know, pretty much gave up sugar and dairy and doesn't want it anymore, and prayers that were answered. So, you know, when we do these 90 days, all the things that we're doing, you know, it may seem a lot if you're not doing any of them. For those of us that may be doing some of them, we're adding some more. But for me, the idea of doing it together with 6,000 other people, knowing that everybody's praying for each other as we go through this together, I'm sure will bring many miracles to those that are involved. You know?
I can't wait to hear all the stories.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be some.
Right.
And just the personal transformation stories, which are miracles in themselves. The prayer intention for that 54-day Rosary Novena is going to be for our personal holiness and for the Roman Catholic Church. You know, we just see a lot of confusion and division and all that stuff going on, and a need for you know, a restoration and all these good things. So we want, see, the Roman Catholic Church, we Christians, we're called to make the world a better place. We have to be strong. We have to be among the strongest, spiritually speaking, morals, ethics, virtues. We have to be so that they'll see our good deeds and give glory to God and want to be. I'm actually quoting from last weekend's gospel, but you know, so that we can literally, we transform the world by first transforming ourselves. And people see that transformation, so they say, I want some of that. I want some of that. The other thing to note about this is that on Sundays and solemnities, you can relax the disciplines but not abandon them. You know, so like sleep an extra hour or have a dessert or have a beer or whatever. You were talking about accountability buddies and 90 squads. I have a great, what we call our band of brothers here. And they're actually coming over Sunday night to my place. I have a man cave in my refectory. And the bishop might even come over, because he's come over before. But we sit and we'll have a couple of beers, and a couple of guys smoke a pipe. So we call it pipes and pints. And, and I'm going to cook my Holy Blazes chili. And we end up talking about, you know, faith and God and the church and all this good stuff. And we're accountable to each other. You know, we're asking each other to kind of raise our game. So it's a really great thing.
Right.
And then the other thing is that we're asking people to consider fasting on Wednesdays and Fridays. And if they're able to, and a lot of people have physical issues, so be careful, check with your doctor or whatever. But if you're able to actually do a water and juice fast with bread on those days. Now, that seems severe to a lot of people. To me, it's not a problem at all. That's actually not that hard. But different strokes for different folks, you know.
Right.
So if you're not able to do that, then don't do that.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure, and this is where the anecdote comes in. I wasn't sure if I saw it on the Facebook page or one of the web pages, Nineveh 90 or elsewhere, about livethefast.com.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to have on the 22nd of this month, Andy LaValle from Live the Fast is going to come on the show, and we're
nice.
Going to talk about fasting. And in order for me to get prepared for this, I went ahead and placed my first order with livethefast.com for their breads. And Andy is a baker and has done a great job of managing to make these rolls that are contain plenty of nutrition. So much of the bread we get today is, you know, with the bleached flour and other ingredients, really doesn't offer us any nutrition. And so you can order from Andy and they'll ship it to you. The rolls are frozen. They come priority mail, and I got them. And he sends a 5-week supply, I think it is, 20 rolls. And I got them. It's in a decent-sized bag and put them in my freezer. Well, last night I was out. We have a ministry I'm involved in on Tuesday nights. And halfway through the ministry, through the night, I get a text from my wife saying, "What's this bag of rolls in the bottom of the freezer?" And I didn't get back to her until after this thing was over. And it was like, oh, by the way, we ate some. And but, yeah.
Did they like them?
They did. They did. And yeah. I, you know, last Wednesday and Friday and today, of course, being Wednesday, when you get it from him, he's got the prayers that go along with it. And they do. They don't keep you full, but, you know, you know that haven't eaten what you normally eat. But you are getting the nutrition that you need. So.
Yeah, when you do that, too, in a day, I mean, it's just, it's a glorious feeling, especially when you wake up the next morning and you go, you know, I did that, and that was for you, God, and, you know, I just, there's not enough I can do to express my love for you, but, you know, I wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So it's a good sacrifice to make.
Right, and on top of that, you get the physical benefits. So many people are here today.
And I tell people, too, you know, you don't have to do the bread and the juice and water.
Yeah.
You can also, and I put a link to the USCCB rules for fasting that they can check out for how to fast, and that's like the two small meals with the larger meal, I think, and you know, that's fine too if that's what you can do.
Yep.
And again, you know, people who are trying to do the real healthy thing, if you want to do the multiple 90 tiny meals, that's good too. So the other thing too is I discovered what's called the Angelic Warfare Confraternity, and I'm just encouraging people to do that. That's something that the Dominicans have had it for centuries, I believe. It's inspired by St. Thomas Aquinas, and it's a beautiful way to conquer the sins of impurity. And so I just kind of link people to that. And again, that's just an encouragement if they want to do it, so they can go there. And then the last thing is if, like you mentioned, if you want to go to Facebook, I have a Facebook group called Special Forces Training. And in that group, people are doing their best to kind of put their Nineveh 90 squads together in there. So so if you want to try that out on Facebook, Special Forces Training Group, come on and join us, and we'll try to get you into a squad with other people.
Yeah, and that's and I got on there yesterday, and by Last night I was part of a squad, like I said, here, South Jersey, Delaware, and southeastern Pennsylvania.
Nice.
And, yeah, and the folks in there, again, I think a lot of them are like me. They're doing some of this stuff, but they see this as an opportunity to grow in holiness. And, you know, I say it all the time, we're all called to be saints. And I think this is an awesome way to help us along that path.
Yeah, so many comments when we did the 54-day Rosary Novena leading up to the election that just people felt like, you know, we were all crying out to God. I think we, for that, we ended up with, over 20,000 people were just receiving the email alone. We just felt we were calling out to God, and we just felt in a lot of ways he answered our prayers. I mean, you talked about Kellyanne Conway, and there's also a whole slew of great solid Catholics in the administration now, and we'll just keep praying, you know, that we hope that God uses them. I'm kind of seeing President Trump as kind of our Constantine, you know. Maybe he's not the greatest saint in the world, but he's opening the way for a lot of good things to happen. And that's where I'm at right now, so we'll see. We'll keep praying that God uses him and his incredible team going forward. So
yeah, very good. Very good. I hadn't thought of that, but I think you're right. You know, Constantine wasn't perfect either, but
No, not at all. In fact, they're almost identical.
Right. Great comparison. So, again, my guest for this hour has been Father Richard Heilman, and you're based in Wisconsin, right, Father?
Right. I have three parishes, and I'm right on the very edge of the western edge of Madison, Wisconsin.
Very good. And
my the parish where my house is right now, it's beautiful rolling hills with woods and farmland, and it's just God's amazing.
Yeah, beautiful, so. Beautiful country, and we won't hold being a Packer fan against you. again, my guest has been Father Richard Heilman. To learn more about the Nineveh 90, I'd encourage you to go to Nineveh90.com to read Father's blog. You can catch that at RomanCatholicMan.com. And for a bunch of really cool Roman Catholic gear, you go to RomanCatholicGear.com. He's got that, again, that scapular medal that's out there, along with these really cool combat rosaries. If you know somebody that's been in the military and prays the rosary, those combat rosaries are make an awesome gift.
Yeah, you know, so, can I say a quick thing about that, too?
Sure.
I that kind of thing kind of just blossomed, and my sister actually runs that. But all I wanted to do was to make devotions attractive, particularly for men. While I do spiritual direction for all, you know, people, you know, men or women, and we do a lot of things with men and women, my focus is kind of, you know, reeling the men back in.
Right.
And so the combat rosary, I got a combat prayer book that's really cool, and that has all those daily prayers we'll have in there. But I'm just trying to come up with things that will help men. You know, some of the rosaries out there, they look like women's jewelry, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it became, for a lot of men, it became what women do, you know? And I want to say, no, this is our weapon, you guys.
You got it.
That's what Padre Pio called it. You know, bring me my weapon, you know?
There you go.
And so I'm trying to make devotions attractive again for particularly men, but but everybody.
Yeah,
so that's what that is. And so there's a lot of cool stuff at RomanCatholicGear.com that we've came up with it. Try to do that.
Very good. Father, I can't thank you enough for joining me again today. It's been a pleasure to be with you for this past hour, and I'm sure we'll cross paths again, especially over the next 90 days with the Nineveh 90. I want to thank all of our listeners for being with us today. It's always a joy for me to be here for these 2 hours and to spend it with you, and hopefully you find it beneficial. So I look forward to being with you again next Wednesday, and until then, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Take care, and God bless.